It's Tuesday, the 1st of August, and it's time to get your Game Grin on with Game Grin Greencast. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are GoosGoes.
Hi.
And Puce.
Hello.
Hello, both of you. To the listener, I figured I'd quickly explain that, no, you're not missing the last episode. We had a, what I used to refer to as skip weeks before we went bi-weekly last episode, because we sadly suffered a loss here at Game Grin Towers, and it was close to the podcast, so we didn't do one. So we'll move on to something more high-spirited. What have you been playing recently that you want to tell us about, Gores?
I've been playing Remnant 2 recently. That's a game that just came out this last week, a few days ago. Sometimes within this month. I don't know.
In 2023 sometime.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've been enjoying that. It's a first-person shooter, RPG kind of thing. I guess it's technically a Souls-like, but there's plenty of differences. Like, multiple difficulty settings. So, accessibility, hey. You, if you like your games to not be so hard, there's that for you.
Games to not be hard.
And it has multiplayer, free player multiplayer, and you can join people's games who are playing at different difficulty levels, or you can restart your campaign with your current character at a different difficulty level, and there's a lot other stuff to like in the game. I recommend it. You can play with a character class that has a dog, and the dog really carries you hard.
Okay, that sounds like Game of the Year just because it's got a dog companion. I mean,
you can't pet it, yes.
For the multiplayer, do you keep your progress, or is that a separate thing?
So you join your... you join the host's world and you help them progress through the story, and you keep the loot and stuff. I'm not sure if it progresses also your story, but the game is heavily focused on like replaying the game and rerolling. You can switch to adventure mode, which allows you to reset a specific area of the game, like specific world, and each time you'll actually go through the game, go through a specific world, it will be a bit different. It will have different dungeons available, different loot for you to get. Even if you don't progress your story by joining someone else's game, you still benefit, because you might get some kind of some items from their game that you didn't get in yours.
Right. Puce, what did you play?
Well, I've not actually been playing all that much, actually. Other than my MMO nightmare that I'm still in and will probably be in forever, I've decided to continue on my quest of filling in a full Pokemon living dex, which is to have one of every single Pokemon and evolution that is currently attainable, which is, I think, 1,008 at last count altogether. And I'm currently standing at around 560. I've just decided, because how this came about was after Scarlet and Violet came out, because that's the first game since the original Generation 1 games that I've actually filled a complete Pokedex. And it kind of inspired me to think, oh, well, actually, how difficult is it to get the rest? So I just thought I'd slowly work towards that. But for whatever reason, I put it down because it's me and I get sidetracked easily by anything shiny. But I've just decided to go back to it this week. So I've picked up Ultra Sun and started a playthrough of that, because that's got a big majority of Pokemon that I've not caught so far. So doing that, and then I'll need to go through Pokemon Sword and DLC, and then see where I'm at after that, and then probably have to pick up other games and bit and bob around in different ones to get the ones I'm missing. But that's been my core focus, been trying to work out which games to play and what order to do things in.
I imagine that the original Pokemon games had a six team limit because of memory fuffery, but it's probably in their best interest that they've kept it to six over the years, because who wants to go around with 500, 600, up to 1,000 Pokeballs in their pants?
Yeah, you got to give them an off day as well. Plus, you can't just walk around looking like MC Hammer. And how would you remember who's in which Pokeball? You've got to have a limit. Six still seems a bit unwieldy when they're not marked in any way. It's like, I think this is Pikachu. Hang on a minute. Let me just start it. Oh, no, it's a Mareep. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, trick type. Probably work.
Plus, it's cuter.
This is true.
Other than that, the only game I've put a little bit of time into is Double Dragon Gaiden, the new Double Dragon game, with a very cutesy, almost Scott Pilgrim-esque visual aesthetic. It's very, very good. The combat is very responsive, and it's a really good homage to all, in fact, pretty much every Double Dragon game in the past. It's got an awful lot of characters in there, like some which were only in like cutscenes in various spin-off games. So it's definitely a love letter to the series. The only thing that I feel like it could do with is a dodge button, because sometimes the jumps in the game feel a little slow. So sometimes by the time you've noticed something coming towards you, you can't actually get out of the way properly. Or that could just be me being rubbish. But yeah, that's the only thing that I feel from a combat perspective that it's missing. But it's a very, very good game.
Okay, well, on the subject of dodging, I was going to say picked up, but I downloaded from PlayStation Plus, Knack. Now, I knew very little about this game other than the sequel was much wanted and reviewed pretty favourably on our site. But you're this being made up of what are called relics. It's basically the little pieces that float to each other. And you have to, at least in the first part of the game, you have to put a stop to these evil goblins' plan to use bows and arrows and tanks to... And as you progress through each level, you gather more relics and grow larger so you can do more powerful attacks and survive more hits, because when you get damaged, it knocks relics off of you. The dodge in that isn't great. I'm certain it's not just me where I'll dodge something and it's like, yeah, but it still hit you. I'm like, I was dodging. Do I not have any iframes? Am I not invincible for just a split second?
It could also just be that the game hates you, which is plausible, because most games hate me.
I mean, I'm playing it on easy.
Yeah. I actually really liked the Knack games. The first game was a bit of a meme. It became like a bit of a punching bag. But it's actually a pretty solid game. It's quite simplistic, but it's a really solid game, and it's a fun time. As long as you don't take yourself too seriously, it is a game you can have fun with.
It seems quite by the numbers, but it's not a bad game, no. That I decided after playing Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart that I'd play some of the other Ratchet & Clank games that I might not have played, because I have no way of confirming or denying, because I didn't write it down, the PlayStation 3 games, for instance. Like, I'm sure I played all of the PS2 games, but I might have played some of the PS3 games. Definitely owned them, because my wife likes them. But because you can stream with PS Plus, whatever it is, the expensive one, you can stream PS3 games, and I've been playing through Ratchet & Clank Tools of Destruction. Boy, does that get difficult towards the end, and boy, is that made worse by the lag caused by any other devices being on connected to the network at the same time as the PlayStation. Xbox, Switch, PC, TVs, none of them have any issues, but the PlayStation streaming is fragile as hell.
Yeah, I was going to say, I found the PlayStation streaming works fine as long as no one else is doing literally anything. The second anything else happens, Often it visually looks fine, but the input latency just drops drastically. It becomes unplayable.
I almost threw the controller. I don't throw the controller as a rule. I'll drop it in frustration, but I'll never throw it. I almost threw it because I'd just gone through a really tough battle trying to get out of the prison that you have to escape at one point. And it had taken me multiple attempts because of lag. And Ratchet just walks off the edge into the abyss because of the input lag. Like, I'd let go of the button, the stick, and off he trots. So I'm like, no!
It's just had enough of your nonsense. Say no, I'm done.
No, let's do that all again because I'm sick of you. But this, my list of games that I've been playing this for this past week has been influenced by this loss that we suffered, and it's made me take a look at the backlog and decide I'm not going to finish all of these games. Why not just play them? Why not just start a bunch of them? So I started God of War. That's been on the list for a long time. It's been downloaded for a couple of months. I started Final Fantasy Type Zero HD, Gravity Rush 2. Yeah, I'm generally just looking at the list of games that I might fancy playing and giving them a go, because I might not get a chance to. My PC backlog's bad enough, but when I'm not at the PC, then I'm usually playing on the PlayStation. I've pretty much played all of the Game Pass games that I fancied playing. But yeah, backlogs, guys, they're real.
Yeah, they are very real. Mine is so impenetrable, and I'll often go through phases. It's like my problem is I'll get distracted and I'll be thinking about a game. So then I download all the games that are in that series and then never start any because then I get like choice paralysis. It's like when I first reinstall Windows and reinstall Steam and I've got like one or two games, it's fine because I can just pick from those. But as soon as I start thinking of things and adding to that list, and then my Steam installed list gets to like 20, 30, 40 games, and then I just end up not playing anything because I can't decide what to play. And that just gets amplified when I turn the Xbox on or the PlayStation, because I do exactly the same thing there. I'm such a magpie. I get distracted so easily, and like I go, oh yeah, that game, I forgot about that, I'll install that, and then that causes me to not actually play anything.
Yeah, I literally have games that I started in 2019, Kingdom Come Deliverance. I've played almost 18 hours of that, and I haven't touched it in 4 years.
It's so frustrating as well, because I remember loving that game. What I played of it, I played a good dozen hours of that and then put it aside because something else shiny came and it's just distracted me from it. That's one that I would really like to actually finish.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not just games. If it was just we can focus on playing games, then great. But no, there's TV shows as well. I'm watching X-Files. I'm on season 4 of that. I've just hit season 4 of Chuck as well. That's a show that it's something I started some years ago, and then it came off of the free Prime Video subscription. And then at some point it got put back on, and I was like, ooh, I'll watch through that. And it's just 45 minutes at a time is something of an investment.
It is, yeah. It's kind of like how I see it. It's like I don't play as many console games as what I should be doing, because I feel like when I'm away from a PC with my two monitors where I've got something playing, I could be watching an episode of Star Trek or something on one monitor whilst trying, at least in theory, to play something. It's like, if I move away from the PC, I feel like I'm losing time where I could be doing something else, which is the wrong way to look at it, because no matter how I'm spending my time, I should be doing something constructive. But I think it's a problem when you like so many different things as well, because you feel like you're pulled in lots of different directions, because it's like you want to experience all these things, but that amount of stuff is also a distraction in itself, and it causes you to end up not doing any of those things.
Gauz, is there anything in your backlog that you want to that you feel you should be tackling?
Yeah, there's a bunch of things that I would like to play. but I don't know.
I know that Steam has this play next thing, but it just chooses something randomly from your library, even if it's not installed. If there was a way, or is there a way, to set it to only look at installed stuff, that'd be ideal. Of course, if it's play next and you have to install it, then by the time it's installed, you're like, well, not now. I've really gotten into this YouTube iceberg.
No, it is surprising, actually, that there's no sort of like roulette option where you can just like spin it and it'll just highlight a game that's currently installed. There we go. Valve can have that. You can have that for free.
I mean, the Xbox has it, but again, it's stuff in Game Pass that may or may not be installed. But at least that does have the ability to stream, and it's not the only...
Yeah, I was going to say, at least you've got the cloud option there, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's not the... breathe near the Wi-Fi and it'll fall over like Sony has. Why has Sony never had good internet infrastructure? It's been frustrating me since the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, definitely has. The PS3 was always a lot slower for me, even on the same network as the Xbox 360. It's like, it never worked as consistent.
I mean, I know the internet speed that I had back then wasn't great, but even... now I have fantastic internet. The PlayStation has a floor and a shelf separating it from the router, no walls, and it's still shaky. It says that I ran a test, the signal strength was strong, and the only issue that it had was that there's multiple devices connected to the router. It's called jitter or something.
Yeah, mine's got literally 2 feet of fresh air between it and the router because it's directly behind it. it's still an issue. But yeah, this is why I don't think we need to worry about streaming replacing physical games anytime soon, or download games at least. Because even those of us lucky enough to have pretty decent internet, it's still not good enough. It's still nowhere near stable enough, so it's just not going to be in a place for the vast majority of people for a long time.
Yeah, to be fair, the Xbox Series X will have a shake now and then, while there's lots of devices using and connected to the Wi-Fi, but it's rarely noticeable, if ever. But anyway, backlogs. I highly recommend that people just maybe use the Next on Steam and install something and then play it when it's installed, because there's no reason to collect games unless you're actually going to play them.
Exactly. It's nice having a big digital shelf with lots and lots of games, but if you've only played like less than 1% of those games, it's not really any point.
I believe there is a website that will tell you, one, how much your library on Steam is worth, and two, how much of it you've actually played in percentage.
Yes, and it depresses me every time I visit it.
Stop visiting it and play the games.
I want to do both.
Visit it while the next game's installing.
That's the thing. Multitask, yeah.
To be honest, I recently have trouble playing games at all. Like, I feel like I could be doing something else, and then I don't do anything at all. Or I'll start up a game and leave it. Stuff like that.
Do you mean you'll start it up and then leave the room? Or you'll start playing a game and then stop playing the game?
I'll just boot it up and do something else, basically.
Yeah, sometimes playing stuff is definitely a mood. You have to be in the mood for it. But it is weird. Sometimes you just... you feel like you want to play something, but you just can't either find the right game or you just end up not being in the mood for it. And yeah, definitely a thing.
Well, I find the same with music. I've got Spotify. My wife subscribes to the family plan. I don't listen to a lot of music. I apparently have 133 songs in my liked songs list, and I'll generally just listen to the liked songs list.
Yeah.
And even then, I'll find, well, I'm not in the mood for that song, so skip. I'm not in the mood for that song, skip.
I have to admit, my Spotify is is mostly a light playlist, but it's also mostly just background noise to keep Biscuit quiet and stop him from attacking me. Like, Biscuit, look, Abba, quiet. Stop attacking me.
No, Biscuit, you don't understand. Dancing Queen.
To which he suddenly stands on his back leg and starts dancing, and then I get really unnerved.
I've been considering getting into streaming. Maybe then I would play the games and start building something at the same time, getting some footage, something. But to be honest, I have trouble getting into things, like, not sure what the steps would be, and I would like to, like, if I'm gonna get into it, I'd like to do it right, as best as I could.
Yeah, that's fair. But and it is a really good shout, actually, that I found a few years ago when I wanted to get through some games, especially on the Wii U. It's like I went through a phase of playing Wii U stuff, and I found that streaming it and playing games on stream, even when I had very few people watching me, it was enough of a push mentally to actually focus on getting through things. So I found that I finished quite a few games doing that. So I did. Streaming is a good idea for doing that.
Just be warned, Gauze, if you do stream and you choose Exoprimal, I am not going to watch that.
No, I was thinking about doing Remnant and forcing you to play it.
I would watch that.
But it's a Souls-like.
Exactly, that's why I would watch that. Ace playing a Souls-like is like moss to a flame. I'd watch that.
It's not like Dark Souls, though. Like, you can pick the class that has a dog, and when you die, the dog will revive you.
How many times?
I was going to say, is this Biscuit? Is it like a bargain situation? It's like, he'll revive you as long as you're nice to him for the next 2 days.
I don't know. He will revive you as many times as you want.
Is there a cooldown?
I think there's a cooldown, but... like the
game. Well, I'm gonna die then.
But game in general, I feel like, is very forgiving, and like you don't have like a penalty like in Dark Souls for dying that you lose your souls or whatever, and there are frequent checkpoints, and you can play with other people who will also revive you, who can also pick the class that has a dog.
So you can have a pack of dogs.
Yes.
To be fair, I did quite like the first Remnant. I just haven't really kept up with the second one. I'm definitely interested.
I'm curious if it has any cheats.
Remnant?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say that it is an Unreal 5 game, which means that everyone has the developer kit basically for free from Epic. So there are mods that do all kinds of things, like the game is by default free, up to three player. There's already a mod that increases that limit.
Okay, Wii Mod has God Mode available on it, as well as a bunch of stuff. Set player speed, movement speed, no recoil, infinite ammo, damage multiplier. Yeah, I might get into this game.
No, but you don't need that. The game is easy. It has easy mode.
But it could be easier. Is my point.
Ace wants the easiest mode.
Okay.
You don't understand how easy I want games.
Ace wants it so that when you hit the press start prompt, the credits roll.
I mean, to be fair, sometimes I'll go into the menu, the settings or whatever, and look for the credits option.
There, I've seen who's made it. I don't need to play it now.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Right, we've reached the end of our episode. Thank you for joining me, Gauze and Peach-chan.
No worries.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening and subscribing to the Greencast. Your support means a lot. If you want to hear more from us, listen to our anime podcast, The Pals Anime Lounge. Of course, check out our writings on GameGreen.com. Until next time, game on.